On Friday's page one, how Pakistan is looking to exploit President Obama's dismissal of General Stanley McChrystal as the top commander in Afghanistan. The Supreme Court put limits on an anti-fraud law that helped send former Enron executive Jeffrey Skilling to prison. And a visit to a doctor's office where the physician's assistant is a computer that talks. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Pakistan is looking to exploit the troubled U.S. military effort in Afghanistan. President Obama's dismissal of General Stanley McChrystal will only make Pakistan more determined. Pakistani officials want to drive home a political settlement with Afghan President Hamid Karzai that could run counter to American interests, as Associate Managing Editor Chuck Strum explains.
Pakistan's attempt to cut a separate deal with Afghanistan would basically not guarantee Washington one of its prime objectives in the war, which is denying al-Qaeda a safe haven. We've just changed commanders in Afghanistan, and it's not clear how our effort on the ground there is going to go or proceed. We say our policy hasn't changed, but at this moment it provides another indication of how Pakistan, which is ostensibly one of our allies, has worked all different sides in this war to safeguard its own interests in having a strong position against its powerful neighbor, India. And by making a separate settlement, it will allow it to turn its attention back toward India without the interruption of Afghanistan battles and politics.
Associate Managing Editor Chuck Strum. Also on Friday's page one, the Supreme Court limited prosecutors' use of an anti-fraud law that helped send former Enron executive Jeffrey Skilling to prison. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said the statute covered bribes and kickbacks, and the Skilling case involved neither. The court sent Skilling's case back to a lower court along with the case against former newspaper owner Conrad Black. The decision could affect former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, who's on trial now, and former New York State Senate leader Joseph Bruno. He was convicted on corruption charges late last year. Different parts of the country are pulling out of the recession at different speeds. That could be good news for the Democrats in November. Some of the areas that are edging upward traditionally vote Democratic, among them Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New York, where 27 House seats that are in play could be close. New York's highest court gave Columbia University a major victory. It ruled Columbia could seize private property for a $6.3 billion satellite campus in Harlem. The judges overturned a lower court ruling that barred the state from using eminent domain to take private property in a 17-acre expansion zone. Eminent domain has been a touchy issue nationwide. In the wake of a Supreme Court decision 5 years ago, 43 states tightened up on when and how it can be used. New York did not. Friday's Times looks at the Hebrew Language Charter School in Brooklyn. When it opened last year, some people wondered if it would be a publicly financed religious school masquerading as a place open to everyone. Times reporter Jennifer Medina says it's racially mixed. About a third of the students are black, a handful are Hispanic. Now civil libertarians are worried about how the school is navigating the divide between church and state. Friday's Times also visits a doctor's office where the physician's assistant sounds like this.
Has your tummy been hurting?
Yes.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I hope it will feel better soon.
It's not the smoothest talker you'll ever hear, but Friday's Times says it's one more sign that speech recognition is the artificial intelligence technology that's gone mainstream. In the last 3 years, the number of doctors using speech software for patient visits has more than tripled. Doctors say the software gets the medical terms right, and it can do more than make an initial diagnosis.
Considering everything you told me, I'd like to schedule an appointment with the doctor, just to be sure. However, not to worry, I'm not that concerned at this point. Can you bring your child to see the doctor this Friday at 10 a.m.?
Yes.
Great. Hope you'll feel better, and we'll see you then.
President Obama took Russian President Dmitry Medvedev out to lunch. They went to a burger joint. Later, Mr. Obama said he and Medvedev had reset the relationship between the two former adversaries. He said the U.S. and Russia had agreed to expand cooperation on intelligence and counterterrorism. Inside Friday's Times, advances in cleaning up oil spills have lagged since the Exxon Valdez disaster 20 years ago. Times reporter Henry Fountain says the biggest advancement in the Gulf disaster, at least in the public's mind, is an oil and water separator based on a patent from 1993. In the Gulf, the containment cap is back in place after an underwater blunder earlier in the week. But oil is nearing barrier islands in Mississippi, and Florida officials have now closed a popular section of beach near the Alabama border. China's export economy is turning inward. China has long relied on workers from its interior to make goods for export. Now it's counting on them to buy the products they manufacture, from lipstick and lingerie to plasma televisions. China's move this week to make its currency more flexible is one indication Chinese leaders could be serious about re-engineering their economic model. The debate over Zimbabwe's diamonds ended in a stalemate. Now Zimbabwe is threatening to sell thousands of newly discovered diamonds anyway. Zimbabwe's military has been accused of seizing control of fields in the eastern part of the country where the diamonds were mined. That prompted intense debate over whether to give the diamonds an international stamp of approval. Well, it's over. The tennis match that wouldn't end finally ended with a victory for John Isner of the U.S. He won his fifth set against Nicolas Mahut of France, 70-68. That closed out a 182-game match that lasted 11 hours and 5 minutes. They racked up 980 points in all, but Isner won the most important point of all, the last one. It was a backhand down the line. That let him break Mahut's serve for only the second time. In Friday's New York report, nobody from Brooklyn has ever been made a saint. That could change. Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio is opening what's known as a canonical inquiry on behalf of Monsignor Bernard Quinn. Monsignor Quinn died in 1940 at age 52. He championed racial equality at a time when discrimination was widespread, even in the Catholic Church. He encountered sharp resistance from some fellow priests when he proposed ministering to Brooklyn's growing black population. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.